And it's so good. I love it. Let me read. From Jeremiah, just for a second, and then I'll explain some stuff. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. So God's telling us to do something, right? And find rest, which happens to be our word for the year, and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. There is a choice that we make all the time. God has made provision for us, and it's up to us to partner with him. And that principle is very important. Trevor was just referring to that principle in grounds. It's when we follow the Lord and we're doing the things that he's told us to do, walking in the Spirit, for the most part, we're safe. You know, sometimes there's training for reigning that happens and stuff like that, but it's a safe place. But when we decide to come out from that place and do things willfully, disobediently, then we open up grounds for the enemy to have. He has taken ground in our lives. And so much of the kingdom is about taking territory. We take territory everywhere we go. Every place our foot treads shall be given unto us. And it's about taking that territory for Jesus. Well, the enemy wants to take that territory back. Yes. Wants to have it, and wants to have it in our lives as well. And so it's important that we understand the partnership with God. And how we have a choice. These people, God was talking to them, and he said that there is a place of rest. There is a place of rest, but they would not walk in it. And so much that is happening today. And I'll explain what I mean as we go here. But rest is our word for the year. Rest. And God wants us to understand it and walk in it and to see the significance of it. We've spoken about it a couple of times. And as I've been just coming into a realization of the hugeness, is that a word? Of the Father heart of God, and seeing things and remembering things that I've learned and how it relates to those things, it's wonderful. Revelatory to me. You know, I love it. I really love the season that I'm in the Lord. Because of circumstances that are external, I am forced to go to him in different ways than I normally would. Right. And that has opened up stuff to me that is delightful. There is victory in it all, and I so love it. And I want to walk with him closer and closer all the time. Let me just digress just a little bit and back to what I wanted to talk to you about. The Father heart of God, we can see it as it unfolds in the Word. When God does something for the first time, in Bible school, in seminary, they'll tell you it's called law of first mention, right? Some of you may know that, law of first mention. So when it happens first, and its context and its application in the Bible, you have in order for something later on in the Bible to disagree with that, you have to deal with the first mention first. Because God is intentional. He gave us this thing purposefully. And he gave it to us in an order purposefully. And we must remember how intentional God is when he does something. And so, when he says something for the first time, he sets a precedent. He's ordered in his thinking. He's deliberate and totally intentional. He's setting precedent. He's telling us that this is who I am, and this is who I will always be.
Hallelujah.
Because it's him. And he wants us to know that. He may change it later, because you'll notice that sometimes if you read it, it changes, but only to improve on it. Something that was there, he'll improve on it sometimes, and only to increase the blessing that comes out of it. Sometimes it's the power of the former thing is a stepping stone to the new thing. Yeah. Now here, let me give you some examples, because it's theory is no good to me. I have to be able to walk it out, and I have to be able to give it away. So in the Old Testament, if you touched a leper, you were unclean for a week. You had to actually leave the camp. You had to be outside of the camp for a week if you touched a leper. In the New Covenant or the New Testament, when Jesus touched a leper, the leper's healed. There is no be outside of the camp. That picture was a stepping stone to understand the power of God and the joy of God. And so this unclean thing is made clean with the touch of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so God's intentional in all of that. Everything in the what we call the Old Testament is when the people who were living in that time looked at it, it was just the covenant. We call it the Old Covenant or the Old Testament. But when they lived in it, it was just the covenant. And it was in that the Holy Spirit came upon people. It was a visitation. Forgot the word. Anyway, he would visit them. Now it's a habitation because he lives inside of us. There's a huge difference in that, because for big stretches of time, the Holy Spirit was not coming upon his prophets. He's not coming upon his judges. He's not coming upon his kings in the old covenant. But every second of every day, he's inside of us in the new covenant. And what a huge difference that is. So when we read something from the old, you know, they taught us that the old is in the, no, the new is in the old revealed. No. The new is in the old concealed. The old is in the new revealed. So there is a symbiotic relationship. But some of the things from the Old Testament don't flow to the new. Some of the things from the Old Testament don't pass through the cross, because the cross was so significant. And even all of the words of Jesus were pre-cross, right? There's a few that are. So it was old covenant. He lived his life as an old covenant person. And that's hard to get your head around sometimes. Because, well, he's in the New Testament. But it wasn't until the resurrection that it was complete. And it's amazing. So, an example of that, you know, because theory is one thing, but working it out is another. Curses and penalties, they don't make it through the cross. Because Jesus became a curse for us, that we would not have to bear the penalties of the law. However, you're not scot-free. There is still sowing and reaping. There are consequences to us living improper lives, making poor choices, walking not with God, having an out-of-body experience, if you would. You know, in here, we're all good, but when we're out of the body, we're... Sorry. I need somebody on the drums to give me a rim shot. Bad jokes. So, the curses don't follow through, but sowing and reaping does. Consequences do become New Testament things. And so you need to understand the difference between that. You know, so if a young couple, they fall in love and they have premarital sex, the consequence of that, there are a few of them, but one of them is there could be a baby. And that baby will be around for a long time, and you can't pray that away. You can't say, well, no, I'm not bound by the law anymore. Well, that's true. There is grace, and you'll have to have grace for that child for 20 years. You know? You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to move on until we're... So, this is so cool. I was... the way God works with me, anyway, is he's bringing all kinds of things together for me, and he just drops nuggets into my heart that explode into trees, and the wonder of it. I was talking to a guy this week, Wednesday, and he's a guy who's had lots of troubles, all stuff he's done wrong, you know, consequences to his poor choices. And he says to me, I'm such a loser. I'm such a loss in society. I have no right being here. And I said, which man is speaking to you? Just coming out of something I'd read some time ago. I said, which man is speaking to you? And he was thinking I was talking about somebody from his life, you know, his employer or something. And he said, well, what do you mean, which man is speaking to you? I said, is it the old man or the new man that's speaking to you, that's telling you that? And he caught it. Like, it's something that he'd been taught, but he caught it all of a sudden. That's where the warfare is right there, is the old man, new man thing. And we assume, because there's a thought in there, that it's just me. But it's not just you. That's where warfare is. And we're in it whether we like it or not. You're in the warfare whether you like it or not. And so you want to be good at it, and you want to understand the principles of the warfare that we're involved in. And so he understood that the old man is all of the habit patterns, all of the ways of thinking, all of the stuff that you learned in this world that's come upon you. And out of all of that, he had great knowledge that he was a loser, because he would have judged somebody who was doing the same kind of things that he was doing as a loser. But the new man doesn't have any of that stuff. The new man, who is led by your Spirit, the Spirit of God in you, speaks positive things, calls him a son of God, calls him fearfully and wonderfully made, tells him that he is a victor and he's not a loser. And those kind of things. So as we were talking, I said, you are a child of the light. And it's no more difficult than turning the switch. Coming out of the darkness and into the light. Right? Go turn the switch on. Turn on the light. Children of light should live in the light. Not let the things of darkness stay in the darkness. Get rid of them. Make a choice to confront them and banish them. How do we do that, Pastor? Good question. I thought you'd never ask. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis, let me just carry on. Genesis, on the sixth day, you guys know the story, so on the sixth day, this is Genesis 2. On the sixth day, God created man, right? It was a good day for us. On the seventh day, God rested. The very first day that man lived was a day of rest. God made man for rest. And out of rest comes all the rest of the stuff. But rest is so important. It's so important that God built it into all of creation. My dog is a mess if it doesn't have rest. It has to sleep like 20 hours a day. That's part of God's creation. But they had to live through days of creation without the rest. We got rest the very first day. That's how important we are and how important rest is to us. Because you remember what I said about God being intentional? You think that all of that happened? Well, it's neat, this little story that God put together and how it all flows together. It's not a little story. He is intentional. The maker of all of us wanted us to see how important rest is to us. And we don't get it. We think that we can busy up our lives and get more accomplished and we'll be successful. He says, in order to be successful, seriously, take rest. Catch it? So, as we walk into that, you see what God has done. See the big picture here. God did all of the work for man. It was all created. Everything was created. God said it was good. This is a good thing. God did all of the work. So what happens in the New Testament when God's coming around again? Salvation. How much did you work for salvation? God did all of the work. All of the work. You're not going to get a better place in heaven out of your work. You're going to get a better place in heaven maybe because you're obedient. You know, if you love me, do my, you know. But not because you're working hard for him. Not because you're trying to work your way into the kingdom. The work was all done, complete. You get the benefit of it. It's an amazing picture. As we look at him, he did all the work for man, and he got to rest. We get to rest in our salvation. Not try to climb the ladder for our salvation. It's an amazing thing. And so I think that the way he's put it out there, it's not just love that we live on, it's love and rest. Love and rest. Rest is very important. Now, he is love, and he wants us to love, and he wants us to enjoy the benefits of love, but rest is so important. So important. Assurance, confidence, calmness, being untroubled. That's what rest is. And God blessed the seventh day. God blessed rest. Rest is absolutely essential in life. Now, turn with me to Ephesians, please. I command thee not, but I invite you to go with me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Everybody knows this. What to do with my glasses over here? Ephesians 2, 6. And raised us, that's you and me, up with him, that's Jesus, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Seated us in him. That doesn't mean that there's a big long line of us seated beside Jesus. Right? So I'm 6,700,000,000 away from Jesus, you know, but I'm seated in heavenly places with him. No, I'm seated in him because I'm in him, he's in me. This reciprocal arrangement we have, it's the most wonderful thing ever. The most wonderful thing ever. We're not sitting beside Jesus. We're in him. Whoa, that is so good. So, what happens when you sit? You're all sitting. I'm not. What are you feeling? Like there is a ceasing from work, right? There is a letting down. There's a resting here when we are seated. And positionally in Jesus Christ, we are seated. We no longer are laboring. You labor on your feet. That's the picture anyway. I labor sitting on my bum for the most part, or on my knees. But we labor on our feet. When we sit, we cease from our labors. And that's where we are in Christ, seated in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. Not, it does not say with Christ Jesus. It says in. Oh, that is so good. I love it. So rest is physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. It's a tangible expression of God's presence. God was there before he gave us rest. When we rest, he blesses our rest. Now that happens even now. When you rest, he blesses your rest. When he said, I bless this day, this Sabbath, this time, he blesses the rest that you have now. So good. So, Exodus 13:14. I'll try and hurry up a little bit. I was trying to belabor the point a little bit, but Exodus 13:14. That's not it. It's where he says, I will go with you. The pillar of cloud and fire, there it is. Anyway, yeah. Let me just carry on. Thanks, Bruce. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.
That's 33:14.
Thank you. That's what it says here. I just didn't read it right. I was an accountant, and I can't read my own numbers. Tell you why I'm not an accountant anymore. I will give you rest. My presence will go with you. Now, so where is his presence right now? Yeah. Sometimes, this is very elementary, but sometimes we need to catch it on an elementary level. His presence is with you. His presence is with you not just when you come to church. His presence is with you not just when you're thinking about him. His presence is with you not just when you're tingly. Oh, I feel his presence. His presence is with you all the time. And I will be present with you, and I will give you rest. The rest. How important that is. And so we don't, it's not when he shows up at church that we get rest. Oh, I feel so good now. I've had revival. He'll revive you in your bed. He'll revive you in your car. He will give you rest. He's so good. He lives in us. So here's the crux. I love the word crux because it's Latin for cross. But the central point of what I'm going to say, because the cross is all about, the crux of what I want to say is we must rest to displace the opposite that we have in our systems, in our brains, in our knowledge. Rest is something that we receive. We must be willing to allow rest to replace its opposite. So, are you worried? Are you anxious? Oh, golly, there's not enough money in my account. That is the old man speaking, the one who learned that you can't run a red account in your bank account, you know. But a man of understanding understands that God wants to provide for us. And so there is a rest that we can enter into. And so when we're thinking those things, it's the old man thinking. And the new man should be thinking something in line with the Spirit. Worry, anxiety, frustration, boom, that's what got Trevor. Those things have to be replaced with its spiritual opposite, right? But who has to do that? It's available to us, but we must partner with God in order to enjoy the fruits of our labor. We must change the way we think. Now, we've heard that how many times? I've preached it. I don't know how many times. I hate to think. I bet my wife could tell me exactly, but no, I just. He has done so much good for us here. If we can catch what he's got for us, you understand that rest and its opposite cannot occupy the same place at the same time. You cannot be anxious and trust God at the same time. It's impossible. You're either anxious or you're trusting God, one or the other. They are mutually exclusive. One kicks the other out. So which one is of God? And which one do you want to entertain? They can't exist in the same place at the same time. One has to go, and who gets to choose? God has provided the ability for us to do it. We have to give that thing the left foot of fellowship. It has to leave. But we have to stay on top of it. So something I learned about soaking, you know, this is just a little sidetrack. I was soaking and I was not having a good time. My mind was just going every way and I couldn't bring it all together. And so I said, God, my mind is wandering. And he said to me, I felt like he said to me, well, then go after it. I said, what? He said, go after it and bring it back. He said, after a while, it won't wander anymore because it keeps having to come back. And so don't be all anxious about, you know, I was beating myself up about it. It's understanding that it's the long run that we're in this thing for. You don't have to get it right today. If you start to do it, let your mind wander. It's okay, but go after it. Get it and bring it back. Your spirit will be in control of your mind through that. But it doesn't have to be today. It doesn't. You aren't a loser because it's happening to you. You don't. Like, what will happen if you allow yourself to get anxious about those things? Oh, my mind just keeps wandering, so I gave it all up. That's what happens. We give up the good things that God has given us, the ways of communicating with Him, because we get frustrated or angry or we lose it somehow. If we would just be disciplined just a little bit and allow some of that to happen, but rein it in. Just keep reining it in. Our little dog is going outside most of the time now. But it still has accidents in the house. Or, as Christine wants to say, she has on purposes in the house. She's got a will of her own, that little dog. But we're going to train her. We didn't kill her the first time she pooped in the house.
Don't say that word.
Oh, pooped? That's the opposite of rest. We're working with her. And you can work with yourself. Don't be too hard on yourself. It is impossible for you to rest when you are fearful, panic-driven, full of anxiety or worry. Rest comes to displace any negative that is trying to infiltrate your life. Catch that. Rest comes to displace. Remember, they can't occupy the same place at the same time. Rest is a weapon. Rest is a weapon that has come to displace the thing that is ungodly in your life and causing you problems. Rest is a weapon. It's a sword in your hand that you can wield against the wiles of the enemy trying to drag you down back to those old places. Worry, anxiety, and fear, they're not going to leave on their own. They need to be helped. In Leviticus 25:4-5, God says, let there be a Sabbath rest, and even let there be a year of rest. Because it's important. In Leviticus 26:4-35, he says, even the land must rest. How important it is in the kingdom to have rest. Now, the Sabbath rest, the idea there is to give yourself a break. To have a time of reflection. To not be busy and active. Going about the stuff that we do. But to visit with people, talk about God, talk about something that is restful to your soul. To pursue rest in a time. To have a day for that is a delight. And it's his plan and his process. I'm not talking law, you must do this on the Saturday, sundown to sundown to sundown. I'm saying that there is a place that where the God of our Sabbath, Jesus Christ, for us to reflect on what's going on in our lives, to see the bigger picture. Because if you're running hard, you can't see the big picture. You have to have rest in order to do that. Jesus said, my peace I give you. The Prince of Peace gave us peace. Peter said, let the peace of God guard your hearts. Remember, I talked about how important it is to hear from our hearts, the eyes of our hearts, the ears of our hearts. The heart is so important to God. Let the peace of God guard your heart. Peace is a guard so that we don't get busy all the time. And we don't allow anxiety and worry and fear and frustration live in our minds. We can actually take a proactive role against it. We can actually live the life that God wanted us to live. It is so wonderful, I think. Deuteronomy 28:65-67 says, and among these nations you will find no respite. There shall be no resting place for the sole of your feet. Respite is rest, by the way. For the sole of your feet, and the Lord will give you there a trembling heart and failing eyes and a languishing soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. Night and day you shall be in dread and have no assurance of your life. In the morning you shall say, if only it were evening. And in the evening you will say, if only it were morning. Because of the dread in your heart, you shall feel, and the sights that your eyes shall see. That is where the disobedient person lives. In a place of dread, in a place of in the morning I wish it was night. I wish I could be through this day already. And going to bed at night, I wish it was morning so I didn't have to go through all of the tossing and turning and fretting and all that stuff. It's because of the disobedience in our lives. Trevor allowed something in his life, and it was disobedient. Disobedient doesn't mean a willful act necessarily. Sometimes it is a sin of omission, not doing the things that you know you should do. Trevor, of all people, taught me to not let those things be in your life. And yet, he'd let down in some way. Sorry if I use you as an example. Trevor's my bad example today. Aren't you glad you showed up? So, we've been taught. We know the stuff. And we don't have to live that way anymore. The chains can fall off through simple obedience. Just not letting that thing live in your life. Now, it will take some time. But be graceful with yourself. Allow yourself to move into it gradually. But when you are hearing something that is causing you anxiety, if you pick up your bank statement and you, will this never end? You know, I'm never going to be out of debt. I'm never, you know, those kind of things are lies.
That's right.
But we give them life, right? Yeah, we speak it into existence. And so rather than, when that comes, just say, thank you, Lord, that you are my provider. You even have the authority to speak to that thing because Christ in you allows you to speak to it and say, be thou removed. Now, it may not be right at that moment. You're not going to see the numbers dance around on the page and all of a sudden there's a... Disney can do that. But it will go as we begin to see and do the things that God wants us to do. Because he lives in us. His presence goes with us. He will give us rest. My bank account doesn't give me rest. Mine does, but it's... but whatever it is that doesn't give you rest, flip it over. What is the opposite of whatever is coming into your mind? There is an opposite to this thing. Run, doctor's prophecies to you. You will soon not be around, you know? Well, flip that and say, yeah, I know you do. You're wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. I am still here. That doctor is a false prophet, and I am still here. Flip it around and find the peace, find the rest in whatever is trying to drag that rest out of you. We need rest. God made a way for us to rest. I asked him if I could do one thing today, and I think I got a yes. And so I'm going to break in Jesus the power of the spirit of negativity in people here today. So your place in this is to confess. You don't have to jump up and say, man, I'm the most negative person in the world. Hallelujah. Just quietly with Jesus say, Lord, I know I've been negative. Negative about my neighbors. Or I've made negative judgments about the gas station attendant or my relatives. Whatever negativity has been in your life, just confess it right now to him. Quietly, because what that will do is take away the grounds that Trevor was talking about. It has a right to be there because you spoke it. Right? You gave it life in your life. You moved in negativity. And I'm not here to shame or guilt anybody through this. This is Freedom Day. So just recognize that there has been negativity in your life. Say, Lord, I'm sorry for that. Ah, Jesus, thank you. Father, thank you for your heart to have us free. Now, just before I pray, you got to understand that rest is something you receive. It's not something that just happens to you, like some Zen thing. You receive rest. If you haven't received enough of it, you're tired or sleep deprived or whatever. It's something you receive. So you're going to be receiving something as I'm praying, right? Lord, you are such a positive person. You are so wonderful, so delightful in all of your ways. Forgive us, Lord. We've all been talking to you about it. Forgive us when we've been negative, when we've found fault, when we are working in the knowledge and not in understanding. When we're working in judgment and not love. Forgive us, O God, for our negativity. Now I speak to negativity in each person represented here. And I break your power in Jesus' name. Your grounds have been removed. Everything that you are responsible for in this life, I tie up to you now in Jesus' name. I bind you together now in Jesus' name. Any works and any workers that are involved in this work that you have had, I bind them up to you now in the mighty name of Jesus. All negativity, all fault finding, all judgmentalism, all guilt and shame. I bind it up now in Jesus' name. And I cast you out of each person now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, you must leave and not return. You must be gone now in Jesus' name. Oh, Jesus, Father, thank you that in the place of negativity, allow us to see with eyes of love where we would have seen in judgment before. Allow us to have grace for ourselves instead of a negative reaction to things. Fill up the space that took in our lives with the power of peace in our lives. Pour rest and love into this, your beloved people. Lord, we don't want to be a negative people any longer about ourselves, about our circumstances. There are things for us to do and accomplish in the kingdom. And as long as we remain negative, we'll only accomplish a small portion of it, 5%. But if we become the positive people that you have called us to be, then our destiny lies before us. Our potential is so much more than we could ever have imagined. And so I speak that now. I declare that now over each one here. Rise to your destiny. Rise to what you were called to. Allow the Spirit of the Father to move through you and speak positively to you. Move with joy. Thank you, Lord, for that. Joy also is not something that comes upon you. The joy of the Lord who lives inside of you is your strength. Joy is always there. It's up to us to release it. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word and how you're leading and guiding us in such wonderful ways. We bless you for happiness that will come out of this meeting together. Whether we recognize it as happening here or we just begin to enjoy it more, whatever it is, I thank you for it now in your lovely name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Bless the Lord. Our musical interlude that we usually have is gone. Jennifer had to leave, so bless you. Go in peace. If you want prayer for something, the prayer teams will be up here. But bless you, bless you, bless you.